hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here, necessarily those of the owners, managers, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and certainly, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Constance Cumby. So let's see. Constance, are you there?
I'm here.
Constance, are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Stan.
Okay, very good. Well, it's wonderful to have you with us tonight. And for those of you who don't know Constance, why, Constance has been certainly one of the people who's been on the forefront of the effort to expose the X Factor. You know, I've been studying what was going on for many, many years. And certainly I knew all about the Council on Foreign Relations. I knew about communism. I knew that the great tax-exempt foundations here in the United States had been funding communism and had obviously been created the best enemy money could buy, but there was always an uneasy feeling I was missing something. And then I read a book written back about 1981 by Constance Cumby called The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And, of course, this took us into the extent. This is not imaginary. It's very much of a reality. And, of course, Constance has been on the front lines of this battle for, well, about 38 years now. And but they have an agenda. And, of course, that is to become the power source behind the power in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, is...
And its ramifications until I was personally directly confronted with it in 1988, and that's been exactly, it was exactly years ago earlier this last week, July 2nd, 1988 was the day that I learned that the family and I had been at loggerheads, and I had not known about that until then.
No, you may not have known about them, but they certainly knew about you.
They knew about me.
And, of course, the thing is that this is a very small, well-financed, very powerful group. Probably most of our listeners have never heard of it. A recent book by Jeff Charlotte, going into the background, certainly verifies what I had suspected. But this is
that it's the secret of fundamentalism at the heart of American power. Well, I have reflections on the Christ that probably made one of the most honest pronouncements about the New Age movement anybody's ever made, that to enter the New Age, you had to take a Luciferic initiation.
I think that's so important. You have to take a Luciferic initiation.
But that was the required entry point into the New Age, and that Lucifer was a great being who came to give us the final gift of wholeness, that if we accepted it, we were free, and he was free. And that was in a book called Reflections on the Christ that you could probably carry into Sunday school and not look attract a lot of attention if folks did not know what was inside until you had the big, huge chapter. And there were two speakers that night. There was David Spangler, and then there was the young man who was the educational director. His name was Francois Duquesne, as I remember. He was the educational director then of the Finhorn Foundation in Scotland. And David Spangler said the real reason they were there was not to speak at the Episcopalian Church. That had been added almost as an afterthought. The real reason they were in town was to attend the latest in a series of ongoing meetings they had been having with key evangelical leaders, and that the last such meeting had been held at Hollyhock Farms in British Columbia. That's a well-known New Age center. And that this particular one had been held at the Gold Lake Ranch Retreats, Gold Lake Ranch in Boulder, Colorado. And he said somebody was there from the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. He said they had helped write a book, The New Age Rage. And he said the theme of that book was the same as the theme of this conference. You could have unity and reconciliation with the New Agers. He mentioned that people were there from the Dallas Seminary, and people were there from heavily from the Denver Seminary. And and then the educational director, Francois, got up and said how inspiring it was for him to be able to sing We Are One in the Spirit with his separated Christian brethren. And that was all I knew about it at that point. I made some phone calls to people that knew some folks from the Denver Seminary, and I gleaned a few more names that were present and added them to a database I was compiling. And then it was just like a blackout. We tried to get the tapes. I had a friend of mine from Anaheim, California, make a telephone call. And she called the Gold Lake Ranch conference center, and she said they were terribly nice to her, that the woman said that well, this meeting was strictly by invitation only, and no tapes are available for sale to the general public. And when my investigator expressed disappointment, she said, well, why don't you contact one of your friends that was there and arrange to duplicate their tapes? She acted like it was just no big deal. So our next call went to the cult watching organization that was that David Spangler declared to be there. And we talked to a researcher named Pam, and she came back and talked to my investigator and said, I'm fairly new around here. I don't profess to know all the ins and outs. But she said, we've sent out hundreds of tapes of everything and anything. I've never denied a request for tapes before. But when I requested these tapes, they went into a two-hour closed-door meeting from which they have just now emerged and said no tapes were available. The meeting had not been taped. Well, we knew better from the Gold Lake Ranch Conference Center. So I put a plea in my newsletter and said, if you were there and you just can't stand it, call me anytime, collect, day or night. I'll take the call. You can get it off your chest, off your conscience. And I had nothing until April of 1988, and I was invited to do a television program with an Indianapolis, Indiana secular station, and it was to be a debate on the New Age movement with Marilyn Ferguson.
Now, for our listeners out there, of course, Marilyn Ferguson had written the book, The Aquarian Conspiracy. She talks about this network, this vast network across America.
And she was a very proud insider.
Right.
And she stood for everything the New Age movement stood for, and she stood proudly for it and had been one of its foremost spokespersons. So anyway, she called me a few minutes after I had the inviting call, and I accepted the invitation. I had a telephone call from Marilyn Ferguson, and she said that she thought perhaps it would be nice, since we were going to do the program, if we could make a list of all the things that we agreed on and tell people the things that we had in common instead of arguing about our differences.
But don't you think, Constance, that is really what they would even suck in some very naive Christians, saying, look, if we could only get along together, we could be so much more effective, because there's no way a Christian can accommodate that sort of thing. But do you think that sometimes naive Christians are drawn into meetings like this?
Quite often they're those that are guilt-tripping people into that approach, too. But this was kind of interesting because I had no intention of doing that whatsoever, that I was going to take any platform I had to set people straight on the hidden dangers of this movement. And Marilyn Ferguson had her own fair warning many times over from me. But since she was calling my house in such a nice conciliatory mood, I very frankly decided to take advantage of it. And I asked her about what she knew about Gold Lake. Well, she professed to know nothing. I took that at face value, and she said she would get some information on it for me. So she called me back a few minutes later and said she had just hung up from talking to David Spangler. And David Spangler said that the meeting had been chaired by Barbara Marx Hubbard at the invitation of the evangelicals. Well, I added Barbara Marx Hubbard to the guest list, and I put her, that was still all the information I had at that point.
Let me just mention for our listeners who really don't understand, Barbara Marx Hubbard is one of the wealthiest women in the world. She has actually inherited the Marx toy fortune. She had run for the Democratic nomination for the vice presidency in 1984. She has written extensively, of course, on the revelation. She's the lady who talked about the necessity of killing a quarter of the population of the world, and of course said in her book, The Revelation, the New Creation, I think it is.
Could I quote one of her more flamboyant quotes from her book Revelation?
Why, sure you can. Let me just put out the fact that go right ahead.
That we come to bring we come to bring death. We do this for the sake of the planet. The riders of the pale horse are about to pass among you. They will separate the wheat from the chaff. This is the most painful hour in Earth's history. And then it went on to talk about how humanity was divided into four parts, and that one-fourth had to be destroyed, that they were the destructive evil ones. There were another one-fourth that were kind of like the useless eaters, but they were basically good, but they just needed to be educated. And basically that the New Agers were going to be the ones that would listen for the inner voice that would guide them through this time, and not to worry that they were not responsible for what was going to happen to that bad one-fourth, that the voice is speaking to them more.
And, of course, she goes on to say, you know, that is talking about the elimination of a quarter of the world's population. She said, that is not your job, my dear. That is ours, because we are the riders of the pale horse.
Oh, yes.
Death. And, of course, basically, this is the woman who chaired this meeting that were trying to talk about Gold Horn. Go ahead.
Now, that was all I knew about it. I knew that Barbara Marx Hubbard had chaired at this point, but I didn't know a lot more. I spoke in the Seattle area, in the state of Washington, all over the state of Washington, and spent some time in Idaho as well, in the month of June 1988. And when I was out there, somebody handed me a tape of Barbara Marx Hubbard speaking at Seattle's Unity Temple. And she was introduced by Fritz Hall, the head of the Chinook Learning Community, another big-time New Age operation. And Fritz said he had gotten the idea to bring Barbara Marx Hubbard to Seattle to speak from a conference they had both participated in the previous October in Boulder, Colorado, called Dealing with Christianity and the New Age. So I added that information to my database, and that was still all I had except for Barbara Marx's extremely interesting statement on that tape. That she said, first of all, she said, we have our crisis, and she made it clear that their crisis was the environmental crisis. And there's a New Age slogan of crisis equals opportunity. Then she said, now all the groups with outwardly different purposes are merging and blending and coming together to do the one work. And that one work was, of course, the three goals of the New Age movement, New World Order, New World Religion, and to put a New Age Messiah, who clearly was not Jesus, over the top. And the New World Religion would deify and enthrone Lucifer, not God the Father. Anyway, I flew home, and it looked that month, the country looked apocalyptic. It looked like it was under a biblical plague. When I had flown out, everything was green and wet, and I had flown out at the end of May, just right around Memorial Day. I flew back July 1st. And it looked like the country was under a biblical plague. Everything was bone dry. There'd been a terrible, terrible drought in the Midwest, and it looked like a moonscape. And I arrived home, and July 2nd was my first full day at home. And it was the morning, and I was downstairs in my basement library.
You hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Constance.
I was downstairs in my basement library, and I received a telephone call from Kathleen Hayes, a researcher in the Colorado area. And she asked what I knew about Evangelicals for Social Action. And she said they had used her name on their letterhead without her permission, and she wanted to find out from me just what they were really all about. And I said, why, that's the New Age Caucus in the evangelical world. And told her a few specifics. And then I said, if you want to learn more about it, why don't you call your buddy Gordon Lewis over at the Denver Seminary? Because I had information, too, that he had been at the Gold Lake Conference. And I said, ask him about it. And I said, while you're at it, why don't you ask him about Gold Lake? And she said, what's Gold Lake? And I explained it to her. And so she made the call, and she called me back a few minutes later and said that he said, oh, that was the most wonderful time of witnessing and sharing Christ with New Agers. And I said to her, I blurted out, I said, witnessing my foot, I said, those folks were there networking. And then she said that he talked about the encounters and David and Julie Spangler and the nice relations and the nice time they had with those folks. And then she asked him about the tapes. And he said, well, it was his understanding that Art Lindsley, who had been with SCP in San Francisco and was now with the C.S. Lewis Institute in Washington, he said that the conference had been organized by Doug Coe.
Now, I think for our listeners, the name Doug Coe is the head of the family. He is the leader of the family. He is the man, of course, who is orchestrating all of the activities of this covert group that puts on the Presidential Prayer Breakfast every year, that has seemingly unlimited funds, has safe houses all throughout the world, has dedicated people. It's truly a cult. You get into this, very difficult to get out, and perhaps even dangerous to get out. But they are, of course, manipulating our Congress and our Senate and working behind the scenes within our government, but intentionally secret so that nobody will know. And here's Doug Coe, seems to be the man who is keeping the tapes on this secret meeting.
What was so interesting, it was that he said that Doug Coe had children involved in the New Age, and so he thought there needed to be better understanding between New Age leaders and Christian parents. And that was the version, according to Dr. Gordon Lewis of the Denver Seminary. Well, Kathleen is a journalist, and she taught journalism, and she followed up on it better than I would have. And she made telephone calls, and she called Richard Halverson's office, who was the chaplain of the United States Senate and had also been the president of the family and the fellowship for many years. He also was deeply involved until his death with this organization. And she asked for the telephone number of Doug Coe. And they said, we're not allowed to give that information out. We can't disclose that. And she said, well, I'm with Evangelicals for Social Action. I was told you could give it to me. She decided to take advantage of her newfound letterhead credentials. And they said, open sesame. They gave it her immediately. No questions asked. Gave her the number for Doug Coe.
And hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Constance was basically talking about the fact that there seems to be a close relationship between the family and the leader of the family, Doug Coe, and a man who back in the late 1980s was the chaplain of the Senate. In fact, one of her friends who had actually been inadvertently included on the letterhead of Christians for Social, was it Christians for Social
Evangelicals for Social Action.
Evangelicals for Social Action had actually called the office of the chaplain of the United States Congress and had actually, they wouldn't give her Doug Coe's telephone number until she mentioned that she was on the board of directors listed there, because she really wasn't.
Not listed on the letterhead. She was listed on the letterhead of Evangelicals for Social Action.
Right.
She took advantage, and as soon as she said that, boom, they gave her Doug Coe's phone number.
And Doug Coe heads the family. And I believe it is an occultic organization working secretly behind the scenes at the highest level of our government.
It got better. Anyway, she made the telephone call, and she talked to Molly, Doug Coe's secretary, and who was very effusive about the thing. And she said, the most wonderful thing about it was the Christians who went were not at all closed to the New Age. And then when she got the tapes, she was told that Art Lindsley was working on them, and he would be in there at 4 o'clock that afternoon, and Molly would have Art Lindsley call Kathleen. So the call took place, and he was very guarded and suspicious. And he asked her, he said, why do you want these tapes? And she said, well, why are you being so secretive about it? And he said, well, Constance Cumby was desperate to get her hands on those tapes, and I'm just wondering what your motive was, that's all. And she said, well, I can't speak to Constance's motive, but I think if you're doing anything, that important with the New Age community, you need to be covered in prayer. Well, then he opened up and started talking freely about it, including finally dropping the tidbit that he was having dinner with Barbara Marx Hubbard that very Saturday night in Washington, D.C. And when she got everything to me in her copious notes to me, I did a newsletter on it, and I called it Holy Watergate, the missing 18 1/2 hour tapes. And that was a play on Watergate, Rosemary Woods, the Nixon scandal back in 1973, 18 1/2 minutes that were missing on those tapes. And I called this one the 18 1/2 hour missing tapes. And it hit like a bombshell in certain circles. And I didn't know much more. Evidently everybody had taken a vow of silence on this, but fortunately the New Agers had not kept their oath. And that's how we found out about it. And also, very interestingly, before then, I was able to freely go into the largest New Age bookstore in the Detroit area, the Mayflower. And frankly, they welcomed my business. I was one of their best customers. I was buying my research materials there. And immediately after Gold Lake, in October of 1987, a year before about 9 months before I discovered what was really going on, the next time I went in there after that Gold Lake conference took place, they came running out and said, "No, you're not to shop in here anymore." And what I'm thinking happened was that the folks in the fellowship now told the rest of the garden variety New Agers that they were taking me way too lightly. Because then, they just barred me from their store. At that point, I really didn't need the things in there anyway. I had pretty much what I needed, and unfortunately, the regular stores were selling everything. But they said David Spangler had talked to them and said why folks were chasing them with pitchforks out in the plains that had listened to me speak. And I don't believe a word of that, but the timing was just, it was like the week after that Gold Lake conference. So anyway, in fast-forwarding to last year, and of course my research the last several years has been about Javier Solana and the European Union, and I was walking upstairs. I was emptying our dehumidifiers in the basement. It gets humid in the summertime. And my eyes laid on Born Again by Chuck Colson, and one of the Watergate conspirators who heads prison ministries. And again, I'm not questioning the motives of all these people, because there can be people in it for perfectly wonderful motives, and then people who know what they're doing. And now that it is coming out, and fundamentalists and Christian fundamentalism is being blamed on it, just like they blamed Jonestown and said it was an example of Christian fundamentalism, I think it's time to set the record straight.
And, of course, Chuck Colson, in his book, Born Again, taught how the family and Doug Coad actually helped him initially. My understanding is, however, he is pretty well broken with them, but at one time they were one of the few people that would help him, and rightly so. We'll be right back in this moment.
I suspect he's still close with them, but go ahead.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead. Pick the story there, Constance.
I remembered that he'd had interactions with Doug Coe, so I casually picked the book upstairs and took it upstairs, and before I did anything else, I looked at the acknowledgments in the back of that book, something I had not focused particularly on before. And I noticed he said whenever he needed a place, a vacation, when he was stressed and needed a place to retreat, that Paul Temple graciously loaned him his vacation home in Spain. And, of course, I was thinking, Spain, Javier, Solana, I wonder if, and it was just a real remote possibility. So I just absentmindedly Googled Paul N. Temple and Doug Coe together, and to my shock and amazement, the first thing that came up on the Internet were several pages of articles I had written for my newsletter that somebody had copied and put up on the Internet, which is fine with me. I've never tried to profiteer off even my own work. I've just focused on getting word out. And added to my materials was an actual invitation to that Gold Lake Ranch retreat that somebody had supplied the researcher that had put that together, and she said my article in it was required reading. And there was a letter of inviting it, and the event had been put together, and the invitations were going out from Paul and Diane Temple, and Robin of the Gold Lake Ranch, who was the daughter of Paul Temple. And it said that Doug Coe and Barbara Marks Hubbard had graciously agreed to co-chair the event for them. And then I Googled Paul Temple, and I was dumbfounded that immediately and most prominently came up was he was the co-founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences, one of the world's most prominent New Age organizations, and that he had headed it as its president for several years, that he was the president of the world, he was a permanent member of the World Business Academy, and about every major New Age thing out there he had been into, the Soviet-American dialogues, tight with Barbara Marks Hubbard, tight with everybody in the New Age movement, very close with Wayne Peterson, who is an open Maitreyan proponent.
In fact, we carry Wayne Peterson's book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People, and of course, Wayne is over there in Henderson, Nevada, along with New Agers from all over the world, waiting for the return of the Christ. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance is talking certainly about a man named Paul Temple, who seemed to be very close to Chuck Colson, certainly one of the acknowledged Christian leaders of today, but Paul Temple is very, very close to Doug Coe, and they work very, very closely together.
Well, Paul Temple was close to Abraham Variety, who was the founder of the family.
Right.
And this is one of the things that has been brought out in this, that Abraham Variety, and I knew this about Frank Buckman, who I had researched for many years also, and there had been an interlocking network, and another person who had been close to all three of them was Norman Grubb, and then Norman Grubb's brother, Sir Kenneth Grubb, in England, who was the head of British intelligence and the author of his autobiography, Crypts of Power.
It's interesting how often the people who are involved with the occult are also involved with intelligence organizations, either in Great Britain or here in the United States.
Now, Norman Grubb was professedly a missionary, and his brother also claimed to have been a missionary, although his brother's autobiography is very interesting. Norman Grubb was actually a much more clever writer, in my opinion, than his brother, who was Sir Kenneth Grubb, a member of the... He was made a lord in Great Britain, and it was his brother who had organized the International Institute of Strategic Studies along with Anthony Wasp Buzzard, Sir Anthony Wasp Buzzard, and Dennis Healy, who was also the founder of the Bilderbergs. And it was his brother who had also been the key organizer of the World Council of Churches before it was named that. And he had and was very, very tight with the Tavistock Institute. And in writing his Christian testimony, he interestingly wrote that he would have converted long before his brother Norman wanted to, but he'd had an incident which had delayed it for about 2 years, that there had been a couple stranded and he had rescued them with his boat and sailed off. And he said a couple weeks later the man sent him a pamphlet talking about it, and it said that the Lord had sent somebody to rescue them. And he said this had annoyed him because he said he had done it all by himself, the Lord, and had absolutely nothing to do with it. Now, I don't know any believing Christian who could have ever written that, and that was it. And in his book Crypts of Power, he also said his belief in the afterlife was not so much heaven as it was a new age, and it was just dripping. It was like somebody that was professing to be a Christian who really didn't know about it to really write convincingly as a Christian who had the other agenda. And he had set up the International Institute of Strategic Studies, received heavy funding from the Ford Foundation and here in the United States, and they had set it up on an international level. And here, it's one of Javier Solana's major think tanks today at International Institute of Strategic Studies. They have a very heavy web presence and a very, very influential think tank that's headquartered in, I believe it's headquartered in London, but has tentacles all over the world. And in the United States, his brother, Norman Grubb, was working closely, as were a group they called the 12, that they were working in a straight line going down Pennsylvania Avenue, facing the White House. They were teamed up with Marion Johnson, Aylesworth Johnson, I believe, who was a cousin of FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Interestingly, Abraham Variety, who founded it, wanted to be known as Abram, not Abraham. And that's some very interesting biblical symbolism, because when God called Abram out of pagan Ur, he changed his name to Abraham, and reverting it and saying, I want to be known not as Abraham, but Abram, is like a reversion, going back to Ur,
away from Ur. But, of course, everything really within this movement is a mirror image of Christianity and Judeo-Christian belief.
Now, Abraham, which is his birth name, Abram was what he wanted to be called, was also a close friend of Henry Wallace. And this is all in Norman Grubb's book about Abraham Viking, Variety and the founding of the fellowship. It's called Modern Viking.
But Hess, of course, was deeply involved in the occult and theosophy and masonry.
He had a statue of Madame Blavatsky in his office, I'm informed.
And first, Henry Wallace was Vice President of the United States, Secretary of Agriculture. And he was the man, of course, talked to Franklin Delano Roosevelt into putting the occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill. That is the pyramid cap by the all-seeing eye.
And interestingly, it was reported that his esotericism was such that it embarrassed Roosevelt, and that was one of the reasons why he wasn't picked to do a repeat job as vice president, which probably kept him from ending up as being president of the United States. But he and Abram Variety were very close, and according to Doug Charlotte's research, and he's got some pretty heavy documentation in his book on the family, there were Nazi sympathies right from the beginning, as there were with Buckman. Buckman's influence was inescapable. Frank Laubach, who was the Each One Teach One, has been, and E. Stanley Jones, both when you read their books, it's the esotericism, the occultism, is just unmistakably very heavy. And they're passed off to us now as great Christian leaders because they were so active in the setting up of this group with Marion Johnson. And the whole thing, frankly, is sniffing to me like a theosophical operation. In 1944, according to the Billy Graham Center archives at Wheaton College, the summaries are up on the Internet, Paul Temple became involved. He would have been 21 years old at the time. He was born in 1923, just 11 days before my own mother was born. So he's not a young man, but he's still extremely active. And so then I found out even more because I was shocked when I learned about the interlocking directorates. But then I found out he owned a gold mine, and it was called Shambhala. He's an oil billionaire. He was the head of Standard Oil in Spain. And then he put up some very, there were some articles about him, biographical articles on the Internet, which they've pulled down, but they were up for the World Business Academy. And he told all about his relationship with both groups, the occult and the Prayer Breakfast Network. And the Prayer Breakfast Network, he'd set up these groups all over Spain and had used this to gain entree to Franco and the Spanish government. So you bet, being in those positions in Spain during the years he was there, you bet he knew Madera, he knew Solana and his father, grandfather, Salvador de Madariaga. But the thing that then came back and that I discovered this year that set me off on it again, and realized that the interlinking was even greater than I had even suspected, that it was not just casual. I stumbled one day across, Googling Paul N. Temple, I stumbled across the Three Swallows Foundation, which was one of his funding mechanisms, and it was, according to the latest reports, they had were worth $3.5 million, and they gave away a great deal of money every year to various causes. And I was looking at, and the first thing that caught my eye was the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And every year, very large sums of money, like $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, was going to the Institute of Noetic Sciences. There was a lot of money going to a Church of All Seasons, the Chalice Church of All Seasons, in, I believe, Boulder, Colorado. It was a very much a new age church that was celebrating the earth and into various forms of paganism and Wicca. It was quite obvious. And in fact, their layout looked very similar to the pictures of the Findhorn layout on the building. And the there were other new age groups that were receiving their largesse, Waldorf schools, Montessori schools. And then there were also Christian ministries getting money. There was Arthur Blessed was getting money. Campus Crusade was getting some money. Not a lot, but they were getting regular money. And there were a few medical causes that were okay. And then there was a very large sum of money going out each and every year to something called International Foundation. And there was on the funding source on the internet, there was a little hyperlink to what it was supposed to be, and I clicked on the hyperlink, and I came up with this little two-page handwritten 990 form, the form to the IRS. And I looked at that form, and I thought, this can't be. This kind of money wouldn't be going to support some little operation in the state. It was either Arkansas or Tennessee. And it was very sincere people that called themselves International Foundation, but I knew looking at it, this couldn't be it. And so I didn't accept what the Foundation Research Center had put up on its website that this was. And I did some of my own research, and I Googled the address that was on the 990 forms of Three Swallows Foundation, and just Googled just the street address and nothing else. And immediately I came up with was Doug Coe's address in Washington, D.C.
And of course, he is the leader of the family, the secret group.
Right. And they were also doing business under the name of International Foundation. And what I discovered was that between 1999 and 2006, or 99, maybe it was 1998 through 2006, it was an 8-year span that I had records and copies of the 990s. That almost $1.7 million had gone to Doug Coe's operation from Paul N. Temple, and probably another $700,000-$800,000 had gone to fund the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And now I doubt very sincerely if they were honestly funding both sides because they wanted to support two different sides. You know, maybe I could be charitable about this and say, hey, the guy's hedging his bets just in case we're right. And he's hedging his bets on this thing. But no, it looked him from what I knew about what had taken place before and what has been uncovered, it looked to me like this was probably the New Ager's biggest and boldest and most undercover operation of all. Truly what Jesus said would be deception enough to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. And what's sad is there probably are people in there who do have honest Christian testimonies and probably are in there for the right motives and are being used. But what they have done is they've bought influence all over the globe. They've made friendships with dictators all over the globe and use this as a power base. When I interviewed Wayne Madsen on my own program, one of the things I asked him was, had any NATO activities taken place there? And he said, yes, many. And, of course, Javier Solana headed NATO between 1995 and 1999 until he left to take his job with the European Union. And that then I have Michael Timmis' new book. Michael Timmis is an attorney from Detroit who is active with us. He's a Catholic gentleman. And again, he probably got involved for good enough motives, but he said in the book that Doug Coe had had him go to 140-some different countries on diplomatic missions and had mentored him, and that he had had him go meet with the Dalai Lama in Tibet, and that he had instructed him to call the Dalai Lama Your Holiness. Now, that would be almost anathema to any Christian and a Catholic who recognizes the Pope. It must have been doubly hard. But he did it and evidently felt honored doing it because Doug Coe asked him to do it.
And here, but to send an emissary to 140 nations, in other words, this is an international organization with tentacles
all over the world.
And yet, of course, most people have never heard of the family and the organization that Constance is describing. Every year they put on the presidential prayer breakfast, and Christians come from all over. Isn't it wonderful, you know, the presidential prayer? But, of course, what God are they worshiping? That's
not
the
only
real question.
Did they put on the presidential prayer breakfast, this is how deep their tentacles are. They have the network of prayer breakfasts set up all over the country. Legislatures, mayors, it's pretty much this network behind them, and a lot of money is raised. Now, the prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., they pay like $450 a piece for a ticket to go to this thing. And I understand they raise about $10 million every year with just that event alone. And then we have this whole network. But it's not so much the prayer breakfast. What they are teaching is that rather than reaching many people, that you reach the leaders and that you make friends with leaders, and from there you can, if you have leaders, then you're going to control a whole bunch of people under the leaders. But Doug Coe has been studying the methods of Hitler, studying the methods of Stalin, studying the methods of various dictators, and according to Jeff Charlotte's book, he has been preaching this over and over again, and reading the book, Charlotte's book, is fascinating. One of the things in there was so interesting, he said Doug Coe despises going to church. Now, Charlotte is perceiving that this is the extreme of his Jesus plus nothing. I think that Wayne Madsen has perhaps connected the dots a little bit better. Charlotte honestly believes Doug Coe is a religious person. And ultimately, God's the judge on this one. I don't know. The guy could be pure as the driven snow and just confused. I don't know. But Madsen says what they're doing is they're using Jesus as a logo, not as a religious figure, as a logo to group everybody around and as a mechanism for seizing power. And when I talked to him about the New Age aspects, he said, well, frankly, he was not surprised that Hitler had been into the New Age occult concepts, and that he said about every 60 years they bring the thing out, call it something else, and move on with it, and this evidently was one of the latest thrusts. But it is looking very much to me, Dr. Monteith, as though we've had a three-stage thing. Looking at this thing, I can only conclude that the first stage of this group, when they were first setting this up and moving in on this thing, Krishnamurti was, first of all, in the late 20s when Variety was starting, was the goal.
And I think for our listeners, he was to be the new world leader, Krishnamurti.
He was to be their new Messiah. He
right.
was to be their Maitreya, the Christ. And when Krishnamurti didn't work out, then according to Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, that the masters turned to then Hitler, and that when Hitler didn't work out, now they've got somebody new in the wings. And looking now at, I had to question whether the Institute of Noetic Sciences, whether they were an innocent group or if they were knowingly in on this Maitreya the Christ thing. And I have some things up on my blog spot right now. There is absolutely no question about it. They are in the whole thing, Shambhala, Maitreya the Christ.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Constance Cumby. Well, Constance, why don't you go right ahead and pick up the story there, because I think it's so vitally important that people understand that the X factor, which, of course, explains everything that's going on today, is the spiritual component which energizes this whole drive towards the one world government, the New World Order. The New World religion with the destruction of Christianity, and that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, to force us to become not a Christian but a secular society. And then, of course, they will install their New World leader, whether it be Krishna Murder, well, he's out of the way, Adolf Hitler, he's out of the way. But, of course, who is standing in the wings? But you pick up the story there for just a moment, please.
Okay, well, I decided to see what Institute of Noetic Sciences was all about. I knew about all the Unity meetings, Barbara Mark Hubbard, David Spangler, the rest in there. This could hardly be an innocent thing. And whoever put this thing together back in 1988 and the earlier meetings obviously had a very good grasp of the New Age movement to even know who to invite. And one of the myths that was being circulated about it, disinformation in the Christian community, because this was a battle. I had about the first 3 years I was all by myself and very isolated. And first I was shocked. The support came from often where I least expected it. The opposition too often came from where I least expected it. And lots of New Agers were repenting and running from the New Age movement as though they had seen the devil, and unfortunately lots of Christians were acting like it didn't happen because they were being told by people they were listening to for information on the cult that it didn't exist. And then in 1985, finally they had at the Denver Seminary, March 14th and 15th of 1985, the first major evangelical conference on the New Age movement. J. Gordon Melton, who himself is a big-time New Ager, was invited to speak, and his presentation was A Christian Response to the Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow.
Which, of course, is Constance's book. Go ahead.
Right. In fact, I found out they had hired security guards to keep me out. And I learned this probably about 3 weeks before that conference. And I remember that was one of the low nights of my spiritual life. I cried when I learned about it, and I said, now they've gone to a new low.
No, they didn't. They were just realized, of course, what a powerful force you were and what...
They were fighting me right from the beginning, and they had actually tried to set me up and...
Hold that thought. We're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment with Constance Cumby here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time of our program when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, and you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, that there really are spiritual forces out there, and they're working at the highest levels of our government and energizing the people in the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bohemian Grove and the Club of Rome and the Trilateral Commission. But it all gets back to the spiritual forces that energize these men, and all you need to do is read the writings from the other side. And any of you who would like, of course, if you get some of our other items, you could ask for a copy of the Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. That's the workings of the spiritual hierarchy. This is a document that was channeled by a demonic spirit to a woman named Alice Bailey and appeared in one of her books many years ago, recently republished by the Lucis Trust. It used to be known as the Lucifer Publishing House. You can go up on the internet. They have a website. None of this is imaginary. It's all there, but you're never going to hear about it in church probably, or from your religious leaders or from your political leaders. And yet, of course, this is the major driving force, the coordinating force for this whole movement of globalism, the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get the Constance's, we have a wonderful four-tape set that of my interviews with Constance in the past, or maybe you'd like to get this new tape set that I hope to put together on the family, which is simply another manifestation of this world occult movement working at the highest levels of our government today, and most people have never heard of it. Jeff Charlotte's new book on the family is excellent. We probably should be carrying that. If people want it, why, we can order it for them. And then, of course, we have a great DVD that Constance did with us. It's called The Emergence. It goes into the background of the things we're talking about. What is the emergence? Well, they're planning on installing a world leader once they have their world government. And, of course, this is what everything going on today, the destruction of the value of the dollar. Why? Well, you can't have a one-world government unless you have a one-world currency. So they're going to destroy the dollar and impoverish our people. And then, of course, we'll come up with a global government and a global currency and a global court and a global army and a global police force. And won't we all live happily together in this wonderful new society they're planning? Of course, it's not going to be a wonderful society at all. And, of course, you really need to go to Constance's blogspot and get her material. You can go up on the Internet and Google that in. We hope you'll want to get the couple of the DVDs we have, very, very professional, that will help you to understand what's going on, specifically the secret mysteries of America's beginning. And I have to play a small part in that, very small, as a matter of fact. But it goes into the background of the secret societies, their tie into intelligence in England during the Elizabethan era. We're talking about the 1600s, and then how those secret societies came to America, and were here at the time of the formation of our country. Yes, we were a Christian country, but there are also the powerful occult forces working behind the scenes. Well, today they're in total working control of our central government. And then, of course, the sequel to the Secret Mysteries DVD, a one entitled Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital. And, of course, take you into the Library of Congress today and many of the places where you could not go with a camera, but fortunately, Chris Pinto, who put this movie together, actually had the opportunity to get all of these occult emblems all over Washington, D.C. Of course, it's there because the occultists have been working there to use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about a world government, which is why we have troops stationed in 130 nations in the world today. Why the United States spends more money on its military than all the rest of the world put together. Yes, we're a superpower, and that power is being used to bring about the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Well, remember, all of these items and so much more is available by calling 1-800-544-8927 for more information. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. But please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray that the Christians in this country can begin to understand what this is about. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is really king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization of Christian civilization. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, again, the views of Constance Cumby, who's been willing to stay up late at night back there in Michigan, where she practices, in Detroit, and be with us as we begin exploring this idea of the family, and of course this occult underground that permeates every aspect of our society, and the average Christian has no idea of the true nature of this spiritual battle that's underway today, that there really are people who worship Lucifer. We hear, oh my goodness, this is a Christian nation. Most of our people believe in God. Well, but what God do they believe in? And of course, they're never going to tell you that many people, millions of people, are tied up knowingly or unknowingly with the New Age movement and the movement that's being popularized by Rhonda Burns and her secret featured on Oprah Winfrey and by Larry King and by Jim Carrey, of course, taking you into the occult and telling you the ultimate secret, that you are God. If you read Rhonda Burns' book, little book, you carefully, you'll find out that's the secret. Well, that's what the serpent told Eve in the Garden of Eden, that if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you can be as God and never die. And that, of course, is the religion that's being taught today, that you can tap into this supernatural power. You can have anything you want to, and the trouble is, it really works in many instances. You can get wealth and power and prestige and fame, but at the cost of your eternal soul. You pick up the story there, Constance.
Okay, well, we're looking at a large network, and like I said, one of the reasons I was as silent as I was about it for as long as I was Jesus said, the wheat and the tares together until the time of the harvest. And to do nothing about the tares, because in pulling up the tares, you might also harm the wheat. And one of the reasons I'm speaking out now is that there have been books that have come out on other sources from this, and basically the books are blaming it on as Christians, overeager Christians. And I'm saying that this is pretty much the same thing as Carolyn Weaver said when she wrote the articles for Mother Jones articles exposing what had taken place, networking with Unification Church, back in the 1980s. She said that by writing that, she didn't wish to say that the average fundamentalist would in any way support Reverend Moon or Bo He Pack. She said, to the contrary, she said, the average fundamentalist would see Bo He Pack, who was the interpreter and one of the chief leaders in Reverend Moon's Unification Church, who claimed to be the Lord of the Second Advent. She said, your average fundamentalist would see Bo He Pack as something like an altar boy to the Antichrist. And this thing here that Christianity is being blamed on it, just as they attempted to pin Christianity on Jim Jones, People's Temple, when in reality it was a New Age operation all the time, and that there were definitely, right from the beginning, there was an occult agenda on this network, that there may probably were, hopefully there were, that most of the people involved with it, I don't know, might have been in there for perfectly Christian motives and thinking they were in something, but they had the core groups right from the beginning, and Barbara Marx Hubbard, I think, had hit the nail on the head. She said, now all the resonating core groups with outwardly different purposes are merging and blending and coming together to do the one work. And the sad thing was the Fellowship Foundation, this Prayer Breakfast Network, that it's resonating at the, it was a core, and Paul Temple, the one who founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and I'm looking right now, right online, at the archives of the Billy Graham Center on the Fellowship Foundation.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead.
Okay, and said, I'm just 1944, January 1944. Said Variety met Mrs. Marion Hoffman Johnson on a visit to Washington. That's the one that was the cousin of FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. She later opened her large home at 6523 Massachusetts Avenue to the ICL, International Christian Leadership, for conferences and social gatherings. This became the group's first fellowship house. Two important participants throughout the group's work in Washington were James Bell and Paul Temple. Now, Paul Temple is, he could not be a more powerful New Ager who has put his money where his mouth is on the New Age movement over the years. He's been in it both behind the scenes writing checks and front and center. He has not been at all embarrassed to fly both flags. He's flown and he's written about that freely on the internet, and indeed it stayed up there until I wrote an article for News with Views and talked about it and gave the link. And I awoke in the morning and my News with Views article, Paul Walter, was up and published, and I pressed on the link and the link was dead. And that was a very, very frustrating thing, and I thought, am I crazy? And so I Googled the article. I thought maybe I had put the link in incorrectly. And it was nowhere to be found on the whole internet. It had been pulled off. They pulled it off completely. They even pulled the cache off. Well, I have told my readers many times and listeners to, when you're doing research on this, especially if you're on the internet, archive everything. Because they play this lovely little game of now you see us, now you don't. And then Marilyn Ferguson had described it in the Aquarian Conspiracy and their network as being a variety of self-camouflaging groups.
And of course, do they hate the internet? Because this means it's a vehicle by which the Christians, the good people of this country, can really learn about what's going on.
Well, they loved it originally because it was cheap, free communication for them. They love it and they hate it. It's cheap, but they had this myth that they were going to be using the internet, and we were going to be communicating with tin cans and tom-toms and carrier pigeons. And Javier Solana gave a speech, and I've copied it, and I've been rather amused. And I've both listened to it and read it. And he said that he was very disgusted, and he said they use the global village with complete advantage.
Well, that thought will be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance is simply pointing out that, of course, the internet is a wonderful vehicle for getting information out to conservatives, but she was pointing out that one of the articles she wrote for News with Views, for Paul Walter, was posted, and yet, of course, somebody had taken it down. Why? Because it was telling the truth about, of course, how this network this whole New Age network, this occult network, this Luciferian network is out there. It's not imaginary. It's really very real. It ties into the Institute of Noetic Sciences and certainly elsewhere, of course, into the family. And then, of course, into literally hundreds of groups. Well-financed, very powerful groups that have a profound impact even on the Christian religion, because these people have infiltrated Christianity and, of course, are doing everything they can to change both the message and the music of the church. And if you don't think the music of the church has changed, you just go into any service in America today and try to find either an organ or the old hymns, the great old hymns, which, of course, brought people to the faith. They're simply a relic of an age long past. But go ahead, Constance.
Okay. Now, my article was up. What was missing was our link. I had a dynamic link to an article by Paul Temple about Paul Temple for the World Business Academy, which told all about his involvement with both the Fellowship Foundation, Abraham Variety, and Doug Coe, and his involvement with the occult, the Institute of Noetic Sciences. In fact, he set this thing up. He had a meeting with Senator Harold Hughes, and it was discussed at the meeting, and Edgar Mitchell was at that meeting, and he and Edgar Mitchell went out and co-founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and that's how it was born. And so, anyway, I put that link, I referred to this in my article and had a link where people could press on it and read that article. And when I got up in the morning, the link was dead. And then I Googled it, and it was nowhere to be found, even though the day before it had been the number one story in the world on Paul M. Temple. And there it was missing. So I cautioned my readers, archive everything. Well, fortunately, I had archived it. I had saved it to a PDF, portable document format. And thanks to Bill Gates' wonderful piece of software called OneNote, I was able to make a screen clipping of each and every page of what I had saved. And then I was able to post it to my blog spot using a PNG format, which means you can go over there. It's up there right now, folks. If your readers, listeners want to listen to it, it's up there. And you just click on each and every little picture, and I entitled it Astorian Pictures, and I put the whole thing back up, and I told my readers I was doing it for two reasons. Number one, because the information was simply too important for the Christian community not to have. And number two, to teach the folks playing these games that they weren't quite as smart as they thought they were. And I put it up there, and it's had pretty wide circulation. It's up there, and for a brief while, part one of this article was up as well. I was wishing that I had that. For a little while, it was up there, and I did manage to grab that and archive it. I'm hoping I still have it. I'm having trouble tonight with one of my home computers. I'm praying that one will be resolved. But I think I still have it archived and very much backed up. And I've compulsively been backing up and making multiple backups for just that reason. But anyway, they have tried to cover tracks on this thing, but I decided last night I would see just what was going on. It said two important participants in the group's work in Washington were James Bell and Paul Temple. That even preceded. Paul Temple was in it even before Doug Coe was in it, which tells me Paul Temple was pretty much in it, probably pretty close to the beginning. As I calculate it, he was born in 1923. In 1944, he would have been a 21-year-old man. And here he was involved, according to the Billy Graham archives, from 1944, was involved. Now, catch my breath here for a second.
Okay, well, our guest, of course, is Constance Cumby, and we're going into the background of a group called The Family and how it ties into this whole network of occult organizations out there. One of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, but there really are literally hundreds of them. And for our listeners who have never read The Aquarian Conspiracy, if there's any way you can get a copy of that, why, it should be available up on the Internet. And, of course, hopefully very soon, why Constance Cumby's book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, is going to be back with an index and with an update of remarks. So hopefully we're going to have that available for you in the not-too-distant future. Certainly one of the most important books ever printed, been out of print for a number of years, but fortunately, through some friends of ours, it is going to be hopefully back in print. But go ahead, Constance, do you have your breath caught?
Yeah, I'm catching it. There's just so much running through my head right now. I really have not wanted to add to confusion. There have been many things I could speak about, but there's times I just didn't want to cause any undue confusion in the Christian world. Jesus himself had to hold back and use some restraint. He told his disciples, "I have much to tell you, but you couldn't bear it all right now." And I thought, if Jesus had to hold back, who am I just to let everything hang out all the time?
But I think, Constance, we're coming to a climax in the history
right,
of society.
Now it needs to be said, because people need to know that if this group is catching, just as Jonestown was pointed to as an example of Christian fundamentalism, and I like to think that I played some small role in giving Jonestown back to the New Agers. That was controversial when I came out with it, but it was unmistakable. The New Age directories were out there. Jim Jones, People Temple, had been very much a part of the New Age scene. And finally, Jim Jones' adopted daughter, Bonnie Malamud, showed up where I was speaking in San Jose, California, and confirmed everything for the audience. It was very kind of her to have done so, and I actually spent time with her husband, their Santa Cruz home, and discussing what had happened. It was quite an education, and evidently Jim Jones had one public presentation, but when the congregation was by itself, he would make them chanting, honor Satan, honor Lucifer.
Now, what was the woman's name again that you mentioned?
Bonnie Malamud. That's her married name, Malamud, as I recall. She lectures herself. She's quite an interesting person.
Is she still around?
I haven't talked to her in a few years, but I think the last time I talked to her was probably about 10 years ago when I stumbled onto her card, which I just recently relocated. And I have no idea if she's still out there or not. Maybe I should try Googling her. But she was a very interesting person. She was Jim Jones' adopted daughter.
I knew her. She was one of my patients. It's a small world. And I will never forget when she came to my office.
Oh, you know her also?
Oh, yes, yes. She would come to my office, and we would, of course, you know, I never would go into a room with a woman alone. I would always insist to leave the door open, or I have one of my female attendants with me. But every time we would go in the room with Bonnie, she'd go over and close the door. And I didn't understand why this was until she told me that she really feared for her life because of her association with Jim Jones. And then the whole story came out, and I got to know her very well.
Well, that was interesting because when I first started my work in Detroit and I was interviewed on local radio stations, and there was some controversy about the Jim Jones connection, and one of the popular talk show hosts in Detroit, then Mark Scott had me on the program, and then he disclosed to the audience that there, the first time I'd been on, there had been controversy about it, and that later he'd had Jim Jones' adopted daughter on the program, and that the subject came, and he asked her point blank about my work and told her what I'd said, and that she blurted out on her program, if that's what Constance Cumby said, then she's the only one out there telling it the way it really is. That's exactly what Jim, my father, was into.
And practically into Satanism. And this is what people don't understand. There really are people who worship Satan. Jim Jones has really has questioned his association with the intelligence agencies as well. Did you run into that?
Now, there was quite a network in the military.
Right.
And that's a story in and of itself. There's been, first of all, plenty of military networking with the family. But then the military aspects of the New Age, Healing from the War by Arthur Eggendorf, a book which came out in 1985, reported that 80 of our very finest generals had been trained in the best consciousness-raising techniques of the New Age. And then there was Jim Channon, the 1st Earth Battalion, and I had that video supplied to me in 1982. It was a TRADOC video. And that was, and so their new orientation would no longer be nation, country. Instead, it would be person and planet. And there was quite a network. It has been part of the training process. Marilyn Ferguson giving her talks in 1982 on the New Age movement. Talked very much about people in the military that were high up in the military who were into this thing. That's hardly been concealed.
And, of course, actually what they were doing was they were trying to tap into the other dimension to use this for military purposes, tap into the supernatural.
Now, could I tell you about when Miss Malamud, Bonnie Malamud, that was an interesting encounter. I spoke to a very large audience in San Jose. In, I believe it was probably 1985, 1986, thereabouts. That's all running together for me.
Okay, well, go right ahead. Get started. We'll let you know.
Okay, I had a woman tried to stand up and ask questions. It was packed. And first night I was just too tired, and I shut the questions down. And the next night she was first in line. And so then she said, in your book, she said, you said that Jim Jones was involved in the New Age movement. What is your source of documentation for that? And so I started out slowly. It's like walking on eggshells, and I laid it out as carefully as I could. And then just to bolster my case, I said Jim Jones' daughter was on the Mark Scott show in Detroit. And I said when I was interviewed on a later show, Mark Scott said that he'd interviewed Jim Jones' daughter. And that she said, if that's what Constance...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Okay, Constance, go right ahead.
She said, if that's what Constance Cumby said, she's the only one out there telling it the way it really is. That's exactly what he was involved in. And I said that just to bolster my other anecdotal. But anyway, the whole audience gasped then when the woman said, that was me. I gave that interview. And it was a pretty tremendous moment for me and getting to know Bonnie and meeting her real biological parents, because Jim Jones had forced ministers under him to give up their children to him for adoption, and she was one. And she had narrowly escaped death. She was taken down to Guyana by Congressman Ryan, and Congressman Ryan sent word back that Bonnie cannot go back on the plane with us. Well, the reason he did it was he had received word that Jim Jones had ordered Bonnie's execution as a traitor. And so Bonnie was back at the hotel when this thing came down, and of course Congressman Ryan was ambushed at the airport, killed at the airport, and then there was the mass Kool-Aid murder-suicide of the 900 people at Guyana. And I've told people many times over that's a sneak preview of what the New Age is really all about. And I took so much flack on that, and one of the persons that gave me the flack, I'm sorry to say, was Dr. Walter Martin. And the weekend before he died, I remember I picked up his book, The New Age Cult, at a Bellingham bookstore. And I, at first I was happy that he was coming around, but just he was just trying to pass the New Age movement off as one more of many cults and kind of a minor one at that. But one of the things he said in his book was that he had been the first and the only person to bring out the occult connections of Jim Jones. And here that was one of the things he had ridiculed me on and fought me the hardest on. I remember that weekend was quite a struggle for me, and I was going to do a newsletter on it, and then I was at the airport getting ready to fly back, and I received word that he had died. And, of course, I don't believe in kicking a corpse because you've got grieving family. But I must say the corpses continued to kick me, including Gretchen Pasentino, who was one of his researchers, who had put out that it was an urban legend that security guards were hired to keep me out of that Denver conference I alluded to earlier. And this was part of the efforts to cover up the New Age. And that, in fact, that was an interesting conference. Walter Martin had said in one of his speeches, the New Age movement got its start in 1973 and took its name from the name of a magazine. Well, no, folks, the New Age movement did not take its name from New Age magazine. New Age magazine was named after the New Age movement, which is much older. But that was part of what I had ran into, some of the forces that, and now looking back, I think it's hard to tell whether this was ideological, whether these folks were convinced on this, or whether the money was coming from Paul Temple and other such sources, and they didn't want to cut off the funding sources. I'm just not prepared to say.
Well, of course, I think there's no question at all that so many of the things that occur today are satanic. But if you don't understand that this movement is out there, why, none of these things make sense. So much of what goes on today is totally irrational if you look at it from a logical point of view. So there has to be another explanation. And of course, that is what takes us into the occult. And the fact that there is a master plan that is being carried out today. We'll be right back here with Constance. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Constance, you go right ahead with the story.
Okay, well, there's where would you like me to take it, Dr. Stan?
Well, of course, is there anything else we should cover about the family and their influence on what's going on in Washington, D.C., and really throughout the world today?
Well, there were two sources that I have must information on it, in addition to my information, which is up on the Internet. If you do a Google search on some of this, you will come up with old materials, the ones that I wrote 20 years ago. And then I have some coverage of it on my blog spot. But Jeff Charlotte's book, The Family, is must reading. And Wayne Madsen's material is extremely important, and he connected very many dots on it. But what you need to remember is particularly Charlotte thinks that this is the secret fundamentalism. And basically what they're doing is this is not fundamentalism. It might be fundamentalist New Age, and there may be fundamentalist Christians who are deceived into thinking this is fundamentalism, and you may even have thousands of people going to these prayer breakfasts, hopefully for the right motives, and even finding Jesus there. That's wonderful, and I rejoice for all those people. But what we have a network that has been, first of all, determined to stop any news from reaching the Christian community on what the New Age movement was all about. and then furthermore finding out that this same network, which denied the New Agers were politically organized and networked in any way whatsoever, that this very same network was in fact part of the political networking of the New Age, and it was networked even on a worldwide scale. And moreover, hiding behind the name of Jesus to trick people into letting their operations spread.
I think what's really so interesting about Jeff Charlotte's book on the family, he names, of course, a number of congressmen who are affiliated with the family, a number of senators who are affiliated with this family group, with this occult group, and of course, perhaps they don't understand what it's about, perhaps they do, but these are people who are having influence on legislation being enacted in the United States today, and of course, their views would be shaped by these occultists. Believe me, these people are so smart, they can convince you of almost anything, and especially when they talk about Christianity and about their dedication to Christ, but they never tell you what Christ they're dedicated to. And Jeff Charlotte really points out that, you know, when he was there, and he was actually a member of this cult, it is a cult in every shape and form, that, of course, they talked about Christianity, but they didn't study it. They didn't go to the Bible at all. It really was sort of superficial coverage of Christianity. And he thought it was hypocritical, because he's coming from a liberal point of view. And I think he's absolutely right. Go ahead.
I think that Charlotte even was he said he was Jewish, but he had been told that didn't make any difference when he went there. But he was kind of shocked, and he was more than shocked, and then started following the leads and where they were taking it, and that it was an incredible power network that had clearly Nazi roots. And and I think that Manson brought some of that out even more powerfully than Charlotte, that Abraham Variety was an admirer of Nietzsche. He was an admirer of Hitler, and he was an admirer of Quisling, the Norwegian who was shot as a traitor. And that they basically the reason they were starting in the first place a network in Seattle was to fight labor union organizing, and that he had been influenced by a number of things. But interesting to me, that I did not know about before reading Charlotte's book, was that he had claimed a high mystical experience.
You know, who is this? Is this the man who actually organized it before Cole?
Abraham Variety.
Right, okay.
And that he had had a mystical experience, that he had seen these things supposedly in a mystical moment, and that then he had gone forth and done his thing. And this is, and of course he's built a tremendous, tremendous network, and the most important thing about it is that they have access to power at the top. And the other thing that is so important about this, and maybe the most important thing for us to remember on this one, is that the power that has been gained by it, and the influence that has been gained by it, is now going to be pointed to by the very New Agers who are networked with it as an example of why dangerous fundamentalists should be shut down. And that's one reason why I'm stepping forward trying to correct the record as much as possible at this point, so people know that this is not a Christian network, that this is a network which has used the Christian community as a monetary base and as a political organizing base, and also has you in access to church records and to know where the Christians, very Christians, are that this movement intends to wipe out.
And the fact that most Christians have never heard about this reflects the degree of control that exists over what Christians think today.
We've heard about it, but it's quite a positive thing.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Constance Cumby, and I hate to keep interrupting you, Constance, but that's the way the computer is. Let's just quickly take a call from Maggie from Texas, but I really don't want to open up our lines regularly. But Maggie has been patiently hanging on to it. Did you have a question for our guest, Maggie?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I've just tuned in late, unfortunately, and I've heard you allude to the family before, but I couldn't find anything about it because the search term was too broad. Can you, Ms. Cumby, quickly just define what family you're talking about?
I would, if the family is a generic name. They also call themselves Fellowship Foundation.
Okay.
They also sometimes are referred to as the International Foundation. That's the name under which a lot of money is given to them.
Okay.
It's also called the Prayer Breakfast Network, Christian Embassy in Washington, D.C. But if you're going to do some serious internet research on it, put quotes around Doug and then the word Co, C-O-E. And if you want to get hone in on the specific things we were talking about, put quotes around Paul and then middle initial N. And then Temple, or Paul Temple.
Okay, thank you.
And you should yield a lot of informative material on just the internet alone.
But Maggie, you really need to get on my interview with Jeff Charlotte, an interview we did a couple of weeks ago. Jeff Charlotte, Charlotte, is that right?
Charlotte.
Charlotte, okay.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
All right, fine. Thanks very much for calling, Maggie. It's a very important subject. Go right ahead there. Bye-bye. Okay, go ahead and
I'm jealous. I didn't know you did an interview with Jeff Charlotte. I'd love to interview him. I'll have to have you give him give me his phone number or give him my phone number, one or the other.
You do go ahead and call me off the air, and I'll be glad to get it for you.
And I've interviewed Wayne Madsen, so you can track him down and have an interview with him. He also lives very close to it, and it was because it was in his neighborhood that he got initially curious. But I'm setting the record straight at this point because it's being used for a multitude of purposes. And it's going to be that there is some rightful saying this is setting up a dangerous network, a large criminal international enterprise, and influencing governments and foreign agents and both our government and many governments abroad, and that the tentacles have reached, and this isn't just about missionary work. In fact, practically none of it is about missionary work. And so that's going to be used as an excuse to say that Christians are dangerous.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Constance Cumby. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Constance Cumby. Of course, and we're talking about the Fellowship Foundation, or what is affectionately known as the Family. It is a semi-secret organization. You'll, of course, hear about it when you hear about the Presidential Prayer Breakfast. Everybody thinks this is a fine Christian organization, and yet Jeff Charlotte, who was actually a part of this for a time, a member of the family, or at least a novice to the family, coming from a Jewish perspective, of course, began to realize that this was had very little to do with at least true Christianity. He recognized that they were using Christianity for a purpose. He thought they were fundamentalists. They're certainly maybe fundamentalists, but not fundamentalist Christians. Well, before we go on, Constance, I want you to get your blog site out. I want our listeners to be able to know how to get your information and how to hear your radio program.
I have a wealth of information on my blog spot, and there are a large group of very talented people who participate. We run the comments section on my blog spot as an open forum, and so there's an enormous participation on it, and it's World Wide Web, worldwide, www.cumby.blogspot.com, and we have pretty, it's just a wealth of information is over there, not just from me, but there are a lot of talented participants. There sometimes is some bickering on there that annoys me, but I've kind of permitted freedom of speech on there, being a lawyer and with the Constitution, and I get a lot of pressure all the time from one faction or the other to shut each other's factions down. I've said, you know, I'm not going to do that right now. We can. So there's very lively dialogue that goes on there, but absolutely incredible references that are posted. People will post YouTube links. They will post important documents and important developments. I could not possibly keep up with it all the time. Nobody can keep up with it all the time because it's so vast, but we've got quite a crew, and I, between the participants over there, we managed to get a pretty good handle on what's happening, and breaking news is usually put up there in the comments section almost immediately. So it is, and I've got an awful lot of information posted, and then I have links to other sites which have valuable information. So that's one resource you can take advantage of. And Rich of Medford, who's been researching the Alliance of Civilizations, and I have links to his. And then we have Farmer, actually his name is Jorn Freeberg. He's in Germany. In fact, he's married to a medical doctor. He's Hungarian and from Hungary. I think they may be living in Germany right now. And he's a regular participant, and he has his own site on the internet. So there's a lot going on over there, and people should look in on it. We should take advantage of the internet. They would love to shut us down off the internet, but for right now, we are using the Global Village, as they say, to complete advantage.
And, of course, if you go into the background of the European Union, it is all occult. If you go into the background of the Nazi movement, it is all occult. You go into the background of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created to bring about a world government that has as front organizations today the Council on Foreign Relations in the United States, in Great Britain, the Royal Institute for International Affairs. It is all occult. The backgrounds of so much of socialism and the Fabian Socialist movement is founded in the occult. And certainly Annie Besant, who is one of the founders of Fabian Socialism, we find out she was the disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who founded the Theosophical movement, for which both certainly Henry Ford and Thomas Edison, his close friend, belong. This occult influence permeates every aspect of our society today. You'll find the relationship between the occult and Andrew Carnegie and the Carnegie Foundation. And, of course, Henry Ford and the Ford Foundation. Yes, and the Rockefeller Foundation.
Did I mention Henry Ford?
You go ahead, right?
Henry Ford for sure was deeply involved in this, as was Thomas Alva Edison, which was one of the things they attempted to cover up at the Denver Seminary Conference I called it the Denver Disinformation Conference in March of 1985, and Gordon Melton went out of his way to say that there was no evidence that Thomas Alva Edison had been involved in the Theosophical Society or signed the secrecy pledge. But I've had the opportunity to be in Henry Ford's old mansion several times. It's used as a banquet and facility in the Detroit area. My dog is barking at me. He thinks I should be giving him bones for bedtime. Anyway, I've been in there several times, and I've had the chance to look at the books. They have his library is intact on the shelves in that house, old house, and it's covered with glass now, but unmistakable theosophical titles and books on the reappearance of the Christ and Rosicrucian titles, and his library is absolutely full of them. He was fascinated by it. And that was one of the reasons he and Thomas Alva Edison had such a close relationship. They were both very much taken with theosophy and the occult.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that so many of the people who are successful financially, certainly politically, even militarily, have tapped into this other source of power. There is a supernatural. You can tap into it, but let me warn you, you don't want to, because, of course, you're endangering your eternal soul. Until people understand that this is the basis of Rhonda Byrne's story of The Secret, that book has sold probably six or seven million copies throughout the world in the last year or so, and probably 4 or 5 million copies of her DVD. And I suggest you get it and you watch it and you understand that what they're telling you is a secret, but they never is true, but they never tell you where this power that you're going to accumulate comes from. And, of course, comes from the dark side. Not imaginary, very real, permeates every aspect of our society, our government, our military, our educational institutions. But the last thing they want, of course, is for the American people, and specifically the Christians of our country, to wake up. Well, I think that Constance is sounding the clarion call, because we're moving into the final act of this age-long play that has been enacted, and I believe the curtain is about ready to rise on that final act. And if you don't understand who the players are, if you don't understand where this is all going, why you may very well, of course, be misled and end up, of course, sacrificing your very soul. So go ahead, Constance.
Yes, well, I wanted to share a quote, if I could, from one of the persons that I have researched on this very closely, who I have more than ample suspicion has been networked with the folks in Washington, at least the European side of it has been. But now that Wayne Madsen has confirmed with me that the NATO activities were indeed taking place, and the meetings that were taking place at Fellowship Foundation in Washington and the houses there, I frankly have speculated, has Javier Solana slept there, but I have a quote that I shared with you today that came from Dr. Solana, in, who's running Europe's foreign policy and military and space agency. And this is what he said to the Financial Times July 12, 2003, the London Financial Times, quote, "As time goes by, I do whatever I want. I know what people think. I pursue my own agenda. I don't have to check everything with everyone. I would rather have forgiveness than permission. If you ask permission, you never do anything," unquote.
And, of course, what he is really doing is reflecting what it was said by Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist, a leading Satanist the last half of the first half of the last century. "Do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law."
Now, that was interesting because Aleister Crowley called himself Mr. 666,
right,
and actually had 666 tattooed on his head. Javier Solana had his job created with Section 666 of the Europa Code, codified documents, and then that wasn't enough for him, so he proposed enhanced powers for himself, powers to convene the Council of the European Union in the event of an emergency, and he did this with Recommendation 666 in the 10-nation Western European Union machinery that he started controlling effectively November 1999, a month after he took over the Common Foreign and Security Policy and Secretary General of the Council of the European Union.
I think for our listeners, they have to understand that most Americans have never heard of Javier Solana. If they have, they haven't paid much attention to him. He is certainly the most powerful man in the world today, and the fact you don't hear of him is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Go right ahead.
I think he'd like to be a lot more public, and I think he's been somewhat frustrated, and I was quite surprised last weekend to once again, after a year being down, to see my name up on the Internet as a related name to his on S.com, an English search engine. But what was more interesting than the fact that my name was up there was the fact that the third article on him, and they prioritize just as Google and Yahoo prioritize in the order of what they consider importance, there were articles about the reappearance of the Christ by Benjamin Krem from Share International, and there was not one single word in those articles that said anything about Solana, and yet the search engine people had put them there as the most important thing that you got research fact on Solana. Now, that told me that they were sending a message that this boy was not to be ignored.
Well, so I think, of course, we're approaching that climax of civilization. Benjamin Krem, as of course as he always is telling us Maitreya will soon be appearing. But many
he's
of the people
been intensifying things. He has a lecture tour scheduled. Curiously enough, he's not coming back to Michigan, but he's got a big tour planned of your area.
I know. In fact, I just recently got an invitation to go. I was thinking of going and perhaps just sitting with the audience praying and see if my prayers were as powerful as yours were.
I think you should go do that, Dr. Stan. he's never come back to Detroit, and he has such a large audience here. I've just never figured out why he never wanted to come back to our town, which was so hospitable to him.
Well, let me explain to our listeners. Of course, this was some years ago when Constance was in the audience, and of course, what Benjamin Krem wanted to do was, of course, go under the trance and, of course, come under the control of the demonic spirit, of course, who controls him. And of course, he kept trying to bring forth this demonic spirit, and Constance was sitting in the audience praying, and the demonic spirit refused to materialize. materialize and take over control of...
praying out loud.
Right. And, of course, here are all these other 1,300 people on the other side waiting with anticipation for, of course, Benjamin Cram to be taken over by this demonic spirit. And the prayers of one Christian managed just simply to neutralize that. And, of course, the meeting came to an abrupt end when it became obvious that the spirit would not materialize and take control of Benjamin Cram. These are not imaginary things. These are real. There really are people who are mediums who become channelers for demonic spirits, and that's exactly what Benjamin Cram is.
Can I say something about that? Just tonight,
go ahead.
As I was getting ready to do your program, my mouth was almost on the floor. I turned on CNN when I came home, and there was Larry King Live. It may even be rerunning. I'm going to have to try to pop a video in and catch it. And I was very saddened to see that he was interviewing people about psychic children. And he had children on together with a professor from, I believe it was either Cornell or Columbia University in New York. And they were talking about these children who were possessed by these spirits, and then how evil it was for people to talk about spirits that people had being evil spirits, and thus invalidating these children. And this was put up. It was so open. It was so blatant. I've never read a novel about end time events that had something quite that open and quite that blatant.
Well, there really are people who can contact the other dimension. These are mediums. They're fortune tellers. They're diviners. And, of course, we're told in the book of Deuteronomy to avoid these people at all costs because there's a fascination about this.
We used to see movies, and it'd be things like The Omen, and it'd be presented as the dark side.
Right.
And bad. Now this was being... Lately, there's been a genre of movies that... The Golden Compass is one example. Incredible. And it is presenting the demons as something desirable for somebody to have, and it's a sad moment when somebody loses their demon, and that the church is evil for trying to drive demons away from people, and children are being actually brainwashed to think that this is good. But tonight, then to have a psychologist on saying that it is very wrong to invalidate these children, by suggesting that the spirits they have are not good spirits.
Where are the spirits coming from? They're certainly not coming from our Lord Jesus Christ.
These and the children are being taught to believe that they had a gift.
Well, they do. They have a curse, and what people have to understand that there really is the certain people who do have a clairvoyant tendency, but what they've done is this many times intergenerational. They're contacting the beings from the other dimension that they're using.
Exactly.
And until you understand there is another dimension there, and there's certain people, whether they're mediums or fortune tellers or diviners, who can tap into that source. But, ladies and gentlemen, avoid this at all circumstances. It may appear to be very much fun. It may be exciting. You may even be able to get tremendous benefit from it, but the danger of your eternal soul. That's what it's about.
Deuteronomy chapter 18 says it all. There shall not be found among you. And there was a list of forbidden spiritual practices, diviner, those that have a witch, a wizard, so on, those that practice enchantments, so on and so forth. It's that list is a list of the modern-day practices of the modern New Age movement, and we have to ask ourselves, Dr. Stan, I'm sure you'd concur in this, why did a loving God give us this list of rules? Was he some kind of a cosmic killjoy that didn't want us to have a good time and be, quote, gifted, unquote? Or could it be that our Creator knows our limits, what we're capable of discerning and not discerning, and that he put those rules in place to protect us from beings out there that were cosmic losers who wanted us to share their fate that we didn't have to share?
Well, I think that he realized, of course, how fascinating this whole thing is, and, of course, how attractive it would be to the average individual. And that's why, of course, he put the admonition in Deuteronomy to protect us. And I think it's so important for people to understand it's there. But, of course, do not be fascinated by it. Do not be intrigued by it, and certainly never in your own power try to, contact these beings, try to get this superpower, which is available there, but It will cost you eternity. Well, our guest this evening has been Constance Cumbie. We've been talking about the family. We've been talking about the Fellowship Foundation. We've been talking about how this organization has infiltrated the Christian church and certainly many times, I'm sure, has beguiled a Christian leaders into thinking, oh, we can just work together. We share a lot of things in common. We all worship God. No, we don't. We worship entirely different gods. Their God, of course, has great power. But ours has even more. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty with Constance Cumbie. I hope you've enjoyed the marathon. Well, Constance, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, some very frightening things. And one of the things, by words of reassurance, God promised us if we'd walk with him, he would walk with us. And Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. He didn't say, I'll be with you almost until the end, and then so long, suckers. And we're going to go through some tough times, but he promised us the grace to go through them. And what we're going to have to do is keep our eye on him and to walk closely with him. And that list of forbidden spiritual practices, we have to remind ourselves every day, we're not smart enough to outguess God on this one. And the fact that now there are efforts to shame you out of this, to shame you out of the rules. As I told Benjamin Krem when I debated him and he was screaming for mercy, I said, Mr. Krem, I don't blame you for your aversion to fundamentalism. Your hostility to the Bible is the written word of God. Because if I were on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, I wouldn't want my friends to come by the post office. But if they did come to the post office and they did read those posters, I wouldn't want them taking anything literally. And I said, that's why your aversion, your hostility. I said, the Bible could not have described you and your game plan with more specificity than it did. Why, everything you've said, the Bible said, look for, you've said tonight in this very program we are going to do. And he was howling for mercy. And thereafter, he said, doing programs, he'd open them by saying, if Constance Cumbie comes on the air, I will hang up immediately. And I mentioned on his Spanish websites, as somebody they fear. And it's not me that they fear, but it's the information, the truth coming through. And the deception is going to be very great. In fact, it was greater than I suspected when I started, which is why I received the opposition. They thought the truth was 1,000 times worse than I had any knowledge when I started. They thought I knew 1,000 times more than I did. But now the chickens are coming home to roost. And we're in for some very perilous times, but it's also exciting times. I'm sure there wasn't a prophet in the Old Testament that wouldn't have traded anything for a front row seat with us.
I think that's really so true. And what a wonderful time to know the Lord, because without that knowledge, what is coming down the line, what we know is coming down the line, would just frighten us to death.
But we were given fair warning. Jesus said, behold, I have told you. And we were given fair warning, and so don't let folks shame you out of reading the book of Revelation. It's more important now than ever. Don't let them shame you out of reading the book of Daniel. It's more important than ever. Don't let them shame you out of following the Ten Commandments. They're there for your protection and safety.
We're out of time, Constance. God bless. Thanks so very much.
Thanks so much, Dr.
Santiago.
Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience enjoyed Constance. It's been a fascinating 2 hours. In fact, we hope to put this together into a 4-tape set on the family, this powerful, covert organization which has infiltrated the Christian church. But, of course, it is not truly a Christian organization. Well, of course, Constance was just saying, and I agree with her, that we are entering one of the most dangerous and frightening times in all recorded history. I believe we're approaching the culmination of history, but the only thing that is going to see any of us through is our personal relationship with our Lord and the realization that Jesus promised that he would be with us even unto the ends of the earth. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we may very well be approaching those times. We're seeing the financial collapse of our nation. We're seeing the moral degradation of our nation. We're seeing a nation that I believe that has repudiated God, and God is going to repudiate this nation, but he's not going to repudiate those people within the listening audience who are true to him and, of course, believe in his promise of eternal salvation. Well, we hope you'll want to get perhaps even copies of this two-hour program or the four-hour program we're going to be putting together on the Friendship Foundation. The Fellowship Foundation. We hope that you'll certainly want to get the four tape set of my interviews, previous interviews with Constance Cumby, and the DVD we have, The Emergence. That's The Emergence, where Constance Cumby tells about the coming world leader. And, of course, I believe he's waiting in the rings as we move towards the New World Order. The New World Religion with the destruction of conventional Christianity as they change the music and the message of the church. And then, of course, merges into the one world religion. And then finally, of course, the enthronement of the world leader. So the two things we're suggesting, the four tape set on Constance Cumby, a four CD set, the DVD, which entitled The Emergence. And then, of course, we hope you'll want to get the special DVDs put together by our good friend, Pastor Joe Schimmel. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Why is that important? Well, because many people in the music industry have sold their souls and promised for fame and fortune and success in the music industry. But of course, there is a time when they have to make the payment back. And of course, so many of them have died very young under very strange circumstances after having the great wealth and fame and fortune and. But, of course, there's a price to pay when you make a pact with the devil. And these people have really made a pact with the devil. And then, of course, you understand this permeates every aspect of society. The DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, excellent, very professionally done DVD. The sequel to that, The Riddles in Stone. The secret architecture of our nation's capital. And as you look at Washington, D.C. and understand the occult foundation of so much of what's going on there, yes, a tremendous Christian influence when America was created, but they will never tell you that the occultists were here at that time. And the plan has always been to use America's wealth and America's military to bring about the world government. And that is why we have troops stationed in 130 nations today. That is why the United States spends more money for its military than all the rest of the nations in the world put together. And that is, of course, the reason that the major thrust of American foreign and domestic policy is to bring about the one world government, working through the United Nations, and, of course, indoctrinating our children in our schools with these concepts of globalism and socialism and trying to convince people we're a democracy, not a republic. Why? Because the democracies always end up at despotism. Plato said that in the Republic, and of course our leaders know that. That's why they want to tell us we're a democracy, we're ruled by the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not ruled by the people. The whole idea was, of course, to centralize all power with a federal authority, and then, of course, to control the politicians, the best politicians that money could buy. And the people out there who control the financial system, control the wealth of the world, they can create money out of nothing and use it to buy up the medium, to buy up the politicians, to buy up the universities and the educational system, and ultimately to control what the American people think. Our number 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
There are many people asking why. There are many people. The Big Lie. All you have to do is watch television, and it's right there, over and over again, ladies and gentlemen. You've seen it, and if you're watching television, unfortunately, why? Why do we do it to ourselves? Well, I want to thank you for joining the Power Hour today. Dave will not be joining us. He is away on taking care of a family issue. And I thank you very much for joining the Power Hour, because we have 3 hours here every morning where we share the information that the world...